Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us from our headquarters in Minneapolis is Roy Snell. Roy is the CEO of SCCE and HCCA as we record this, but will soon be retiring and wanted to have a final conversation for everyone with him before he did. Roy, first of all, thank you for joining us.
I'm glad to be here.
And thanks for the, decades of work. Let's start by asking you to look back on your time at HCCA and SCCE. You know, looking back, what are you most proud of?
I think it's our growth, the respect that we have, the credentials we've created, the leadership that we've had both in the office and on our board. But I think the biggest accomplishment of all this, particularly the work of SCCE, has been the fact that we were able to stop people who were going to drive our profession into the ditch by focusing on one element of compliance program rather than all elements of a compliance program. And in other words, we've helped create a framework, an organization for the industry experts to define the role of the compliance and ethics professional and the function of a compliance and ethics program. That's probably our biggest accomplishment.
Yeah, it's definitely a huge one. I mean, you think back, you know, when I got involved in compliance 17 and a half years ago, I mean, it was still really just an adjunct of legal, and what it's become over the last, you know, couple of decades is just remarkable. You know, also remarkable, honestly, is the growth of SCCE and HCCA. I mean, the numbers just keep increasing. As we're recording this, closing in on 20,000 members. What do you think that's led to the growth of the association over time?
There's a lot of great standard answers here, such as the hard work and all these sorts of things. But one of the things that I think that is not discussed much, but is very important, particularly in a professional association, where occasionally some people will try and get involved and take more than they give. In our case, our board has surrounded itself with people who give more than they take. It's simple, really. The organizations that have people who take more than they give shrink rather than grow. Organizations that surround themselves with people who give more than they take obviously are going to grow rather than shrink. We have also been blessed with great staff, the smart, hardworking, caring people. And one other thing that we have done is we have cheated, even though you couldn't take us to court over it. Rather than just using the intelligence that can be found in just men, our board has been a balance of men and women. As a result, we have twice the intelligence on our board than most organizations. And we haven't just checked the box. Half of our board are women, and about half of the leadership has been women. We don't just check the box of having women in governance, they lead. And so now we're selecting the best and brightest from the entire population, and not just the population of people with deeper voices. Of course, I don't just drink the Kool-Aid, I manufacture it, and am pretty biased. But I think the answer is the same for any organization, really, is the, you know, what has the leadership done? Who are they? What are they made of? It's an outcome of strong leadership is really the answer to your question for any organization. Whether they failed or succeeded, they failed or succeeded because of the people involved. And again, because We don't just pick people with power or money or influence or just males or just people with deeper voices. We have selected the best and the brightest from everywhere, and it's reflected in the growth and all those things that I mentioned that we're very proud of. It's a result of all those people, not just checking the box, but actually implementing what is meant by gender equality and by finding people who give more than they take.
And just to add to that, I mean, I think it's notable that Laurie Strauss and Margaret Hambleton are present and past presidents are both women. And I think it's always been a hallmark. Even before I joined the association, I could see the fact that unlike a lot of other groups, SEC and HCC has always been about who we can include, not who we can exclude. And I think that's really had a profound impact on our growth. Now, let's.
I want to mention one more thing that you reminded me of, Margaret Hamilton. We have had different presidents, about 20 over the years, and they all seem to come along with a certain set of skills that we happen to need at this moment. And right at this moment, we're going through a transition of a founding CEO, which can sometimes be treacherous and messed up, to a new CEO, who, by the way, is Jerry Zak and is a stinking rock star. What has happened for us is Margaret Hamilton, who is just finishing up her year as president, is one of the most effective leaders that we've ever had. She has been involved from the search committee, started almost 2 years ago, to this moment of having Jerry on board for about 12 months. She talks to him every week or so, and she's giving me advice as to how I can make sure I don't mess this up. And she's going to stay involved for the next year, as I'm going to go to three-quarter time and write a couple books and help Jerry when he needs it. But she's going to stay in touch with both Jerry and I because she's been involved from the beginning. And I got to tell you, she's one of the most remarkable leaders we've ever had, and came around at a perfect time with the perfect skill set to help us through all this.
That's nicely said. So let's talk. We talked about the growth of the association. Sort of more importantly, really, is what do you think led to the growth of the compliance profession over the last few years?
I got to ask this question a little bit different way. I think the answer is the same for both. I got asked just the other day, how are we going to stay relevant? And all of our peers talk about being relevant, and it's great to try to do what you can to be relevant. But I don't really think whether we will be relevant or not is in our hands. It's in the hands of society, who is insisting that corporations prevent, find, and fix their ethical and regulatory problems, and have enlisted the assistance of the enforcement community, who is fining the living heck out of many different industries. That is really the easy answer, the obvious answer, that society has had it up to their eyeballs with the abuse of people, the misappropriation of funds, unethical behavior of all kinds. And so the enforcement community has eagerly responded and acted great. But I'll tell you another factor that I think will actually even usurp the efforts of the enforcement community, and that is the global economy. You can look around the world and find countries that are not participating in the global economy as much as others. And that is because, in large part, they're not trusted. Businesses that decide to do business outside of their country, I gotta believe the number one thing they look at first, obviously, is there a market? But there's people there. There's markets everywhere. But the difference in some countries over others is their whether they can be trusted to protect their intellectual property, even their own people, whether their physical plants will even be safe. There is a list of trusted companies, probably several lists. And when businesses decide to become a multinational for the first time, they go out and they say, where should we go to business? Well, of course, they think about where their product will sell, but their product will probably sell in every country. Now, some are bigger than others and better economies, but that's because they're trusted. So they may start there, but they're always going to start in big countries with big economies that are trusted. And how do they get that trust? Well, the country gets that trust through the obvious stuff, is such as a rule of law and the enforcement of the rule of law. But they also are trusted because their companies are trusted, and individual companies are trusted because they prevent, find, and fix ethical and regulatory problems. And they do so with a compliance program and a compliance officer. So if you think about it, the compliance profession, each individual runs a compliance department that makes their company more trusted. Collectively, their companies create trust for their country. That country that is trusted is a better or a bigger player in the global economy and is successful financially. If that country is more successful, then the standard of living increases and every person benefits. So, the rule of law is important. The enforcement of the rule of law is important. But ultimately, the countries and companies that are going to be the most successful don't wait for the rule of law to show up or the enforcement community to show up. They prevent, find, and fix ethical and regulatory problems themselves. One last thing, which is playing a big role in all this, is simply social media and the press. They are negative people involved in all of that. They look for the worst problems in the last 24 hours for their news broadcast each night. Any company that screws up in any way gets all kinds of attention, bad attention. It affects their culture. It affects their ability to hire the best people. It affects their stock price. So our future and the growth is not in our hands. It's in the hands of natural forces that cannot be stopped. Nobody's going to wake up tomorrow and say that companies can stop worrying about, they can all behave unethically and break the rule of law. One last thing with regard to this is the because of this global economy thing, compliance programs are being implemented all over the world. I just got back from Italy. There were people from several countries there. Brazil is very active. Forlorn places such as Bosnia, particularly some folks in Sarajevo, are using compliance programs to fight corruption. This is a compliance and ethics programs, and compliance and ethics professionals are the solution to some of the biggest problems in the world. They're more effective than people who tell everybody to do the right thing and don't bother to look for, find, and fix problems. They're more effective than those that point to where the risk might be. A compliance program is more effective than just auditing or legal analysis and discussing the organization's risk appetite, which is one of the most ridiculous things. I mean, certainly works for product development and investments, but for ethical and regulatory matters, there should be no risk appetite. The solution to many of the world's problems can be found in people who actually get off of their chair, walk out of their office, and prevent, find, and fix ethical and regulatory problems. By definition, there can be no better solution to these problems than actually finding and fixing them. And compliance programs use all these tools: audit, ethics, risk, legal analysis, and many more, education, hotlines to do this. There's nothing more effective than this solution to problems that the world is really, really collectively pretty upset about and want fixed.
Now, on the other side, there's always those who are going to be barriers to fixing these problems. Are there any warning signs that you see for the compliance profession that we should be watching out for?
All of the problems that we have in our profession, we've had since I've been involved 22 years ago, 23 or 4 years ago. Other professions are trying to usurp our authority or prevent compliance professionals from getting their job done. People are continuing to try to make it all about just ethics, and not actually looking for finding and fixing problems, or they're trying to make it about, risk assessments that say where the problem might be or where the biggest problems might be. Leadership is another thing that has been a challenge. They just don't understand what a compliance and ethics program is. And all these things are getting better slowly and have been getting better slowly for 20 years, and they're going to get better for the next 20 years. We have the same old problems that we've always had, but they're much, well, not much, but they're smaller than they used to be, and they will continue to get smaller over the years in the future. People understand what HR does, they understand what legal does, they understand what marketing does because their uncle was in marketing, they studied audit and legal and other things in school. Compliance professionals have come onto the scene very quickly, and it's understandable that the universities, the high schools are just starting to get caught up with all this, and they're going to start teaching every single one of the employees that we have in the future more about what a compliance and ethics program is. And the fact that we're able to accomplish what we're able to accomplish now with as little understanding as there is amazing. But when it becomes as commonplace and well understood as legal, audit, risk, and HR, it's going to be so much easier. So, same old problems, but getting smaller every year, and they will get smaller every year till people start telling me to stop whining about these problems because they're not material anymore.
So we've already started talking, in your last answer about the future. You talked that you spent the last 22, 3, 4 years in compliance. Where do you think compliance is gonna be 20, 23, 24 years from now?
It's just there'll be more compliance professionals, there'll be stronger compliance departments. related jobs in the company will be continued to be that are essentially compliance and ethics professionals will be rolled into the compliance department so that there's better coordination amongst all of the different factions in the company that are trying to prevent, find, and fix problems. So it's going to get it's going to get more coordinated. Look, here's another thing. That right now, I would guess 96% of compliance professionals have never had formal education from a university on the job that they have. I'm actually the first book I'm going to write after November 1st, and actually I've already started, is called The Accidental Compliance Professional. We kind of all stumbled into this profession, many of us with experience in one or more of the elements of a compliance program. But in the future, 20 years from now, a much greater percentage of the people that are involved in this profession are going to have had more formal training. and more effective training. And the people we hire will have more experience and training prior to taking the job. And then again, the 20 years from now, compliance and ethics programs are just going to be in every country of the world. I mean, the amount of folks that have outside of the U.S. that have started implementing compliance and ethics programs is really quite staggering at this moment. But there is so much more opportunity out there for countries and companies to understand that preventing, finding, and fixing ethical and regulatory problems is most effectively done by compliance and ethics programs and compliance and ethics professionals. And as they discover this, and they want to become trusted players in the global economy, this 20 years from now, it's just going to be so much larger. And FCCE and HCCA are going to play, hopefully, a big role in helping define the role of the compliance officer and the function of a compliance program. And there'll be tremendous commonality as there is in the general counsel's office around the world, the HR departments around the world, and marketing departments. Frankly, as you know, Adam, we're already holding probably a dozen or so conferences outside the U.S. We have our annual meeting in a week. I would bet almost 10% of those attendees will reside from outside the U.S. We hope we have our credentials, including the CCEPI, which is intended for people outside the U.S. It is our hope that not only will we have been able to wrestle the definition of a compliance and ethics program away from those who would have made it a very myopic thing in the U.S., but we will hopefully be able to make the rollout of compliance and ethics programs around the world more comprehensive and effective over the next 20 years.
Well, I'm hopeful, and I certainly bear the proof of what you're talking about. I actually just pulled the numbers for the Compliance and Ethics Institute, and we're going to have 180 people there from 41 countries outside of the U.S., ranging from Argentina and Australia to Uganda and Uruguay. So truly global. Well, Roy, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today. More importantly, thanks for the last 20 plus years serving the profession. Thanks for giving me this opportunity to be a part of the association for more than 10 years. And finally, thanks to all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspectives.